From the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus here is instructing the crowds, and part of the instruction is to say, "But what will I compare this generation to? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say of him, he's a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say of him, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds.' At that time, Jesus said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.'" There is a version of the Bible out there called The Message. Have you seen this? It's a little more contemporary language. It tries to express the ideas of the Bible in a little easier flowing language. I like the way that it phrases these words, this passage of Jesus. In that version, it goes, "Are you listening to me? Are you really listening? People these days are like spoiled children, whining to their parents. We wanted to skip rope, and you were always too tired. We wanted to talk, but you were always too busy. John came fasting, and they called him crazy. I came feasting, and they called me a lush, a friend of riffraff. Opinion polls don't count for much. The proof in the pudding is in the eating. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it." I like this phrase. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Don't you like that phrase? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Or maybe you like the more traditional way that Jesus says it in the New Revised Standard. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Do you know what it's like to feel weary? Have you ever felt worn out? Do you know what it's like to have so much to do that you're not going to get it all done? And to get started on something and realize that the more that you do, the more there is to do? Are you feeling that way this morning? If you are, then here's Jesus' invitation to you. "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Do you know what it's like to carry a heavy burden? Have you tried to help somebody, and you think the solution to their problem is fairly easy, but then you get into it, and you realize it's a whole lot more complicated than you thought? Most problems don't have easy solutions. Are you there this morning? If you are, then here's Jesus' invitation to you. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Have you ever found that the more that you rest, the tireder that you get? Have you ever taken a vacation and then needed to rest up from your vacation? Or have you ever had a long weekend like we've had this weekend and you can't wait to get back to work because then you get back to a regular schedule? Are you that way now? If you are, here is Jesus' invitation. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus didn't say, "Come to me, all you who've got your act together." He didn't say, "I want the smartest, hardest working, most gifted people around to be my followers." Don't you find that encouraging? Because I know that I'm not always the smartest person. I know that there are some things that it seems to take me longer to figure out than other people. There are times that I put work on myself that I know I really don't have to do, and I take more on than I really should. So here's Jesus' invitation to us this morning. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest." In the 1980s, there was a project that was undertaken by the University of Oklahoma that involved a 15-year-old female chimpanzee. Have you heard of this chimpanzee by the name of Washo? They were trying to teach her how to speak sign language. They were trying to teach her to sign. When they'd show her certain objects, she'd learn the sign of it and picked it up pretty well. This chimpanzee was able to develop over a couple of years a vocabulary of about 140 objects. They'd show her the object and she'd be able to sign it. After a while, they decided maybe she was ready to conceptualize or to actually express thoughts of her own instead of just associating signs or hand signs with objects. Now, this chimpanzee was very well taken care of. It traveled all over the country, but it even had its own like RV type thing to travel the country with. But it still was a chimpanzee. It still was an animal kept in captivity. So it was given the chance to express her first thoughts. Do you know what her first thoughts were? She had three words that she signed over and over and over again. And they were, "Let me go. Let me go. Let me go." Can you imagine how she's feeling? As we celebrate our nation's independence this weekend, we tend to focus on political independence. We remember that our founding fathers believed that all people were created equal with certain inalienable rights, and among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But every now and then, governments get in the way of us pursuing those inalienable rights, and when that happens, our ties with those other nations ought to be dissolved. And they believed at the time that that was happening with Great Britain, and so our relations with Great Britain needed to be dissolved. But don't you think that freedom goes deeper than just political independence? Don't you think that there is a freedom in the Spirit that is offered in Christ through His grace? And sometimes we tie ourselves to things that rob us of that freedom, and so those ties need to be dissolved too? The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians writes, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." What's holding you back? Is this weekend your time to declare your independence? Jesus said, "This generation is like children sitting around in the marketplaces." Do you think that's still true? Have you ever looked at the way some people behave and thought, boy, that's really childish? What was going on in Jesus' day that he thought was childish? Well, Jesus noticed that people like to complain. He noticed that there are some people who watched John the Baptist's life. He had a very strict diet. He never had a beer. And did he make people happy? People complained about him. Jesus came talking about how life is like a 4th of July party. When Jesus throws a feast, there's always leftovers at the end. He liked to have a glass of wine every now and then. And did that make people happy? No, people complained that he was a lush. I hate it when I catch myself doing that. Judging other people, complaining about things that people do who are for the most part good, faithful people. I really wish that complaining was one of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, did you see what I did there? Did you notice how I complained about people who complain? I know it's a little bit childish, but I had to try it. When you find yourself getting caught in those kinds of traps, what's the way out? Jesus says, "I will give you rest for your souls." Do you want that? Do you want to feel more rested? Do you want to feel renewed? Usually I do a pretty good job of exercising. That's one of the ways I like to feel renewed. But in the last month, I haven't been doing that so well because I had two doctors and a wife tell me I needed to take a week off or a month off after I injured a muscle in my leg. And so I did. I took a month where I didn't go to the gym. I didn't go out for walks. I didn't go running. I thought I'd feel more rested. I thought I'd feel like I had more energy. And I thought that those aches and pains that you always have, I thought they'd go away. You know what happened? I actually developed more aches and pains, and I actually found that I was more easily fatigued. I learned there's a difference between rest and ease. So what's the trick? What's the trick to finding that soulful rest? Well, Jesus said three things. He said, one, take my yoke. He said, learn from me. And he said, I am gentle and humble in heart. Take my yoke. Do you know what a yoke is? It's inside of an egg. I happen to have one in our garage. This one my dad brought back from India. This is a yoke. The idea is that you put it over the neck of an animal, and then you put another animal in there. And the idea is that then they keep working together and going in the same direction. So the idea is that two animals working together can do more work than one animal working or two animals working all by themselves? You think that's true? Jesus said we all have to yoke ourselves to someone or something. The great theologian Bob Dylan once sung, "You gotta serve somebody." Do you know this song?
Yeah.
I like Bob Dylan because I can sing him and feel like I know, like I have, I can sing. You gotta serve somebody. You may be the ambassador of England or France. You might like to gamble. You might like to dance. Might be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite. With a
this is as good as when he rapped, yes? Anybody?
You gotta serve somebody.
At least as good as when he rapped.
So the question then becomes to us, who are you serving? And who does Jesus say we ought to yoke ourselves to? God, right? Jesus. That's who we ought to serve. We ought to yoke ourselves with Jesus. St. Augustine, 1,600 years ago, said it this way. He said, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in God." He also said, "Learn from me." There are some things I believe that we just know naturally, and then there are some things that need to be learned. The question is, which is discipleship more like? For example, some things that we just know naturally. I don't ever remember being taught to like popcorn. I don't ever remember being taught the difference between salted popcorn and buttered popcorn or caramel-covered popcorn. I just kind of know that when somebody fires up a popcorn popper, I got to have some. It's good. On the other side of that, though, dancing. I am not and will never be a very good dancer. If there's ever going to be a chance of me getting any good at dancing, I'm going to have to learn it. I'm going to have to practice it. The question is, which is discipleship more like, do you think? Do you think it's a natural thing, or is it something that we need to learn? Jesus here seems to say it's something that we've got to learn, something that we need to study and work at in following him. The new life that Christ offers is a view of reality that mostly we are not born with, the ability to forgive others who have wronged us, the quality of being able to love those who have different opinions, having compassion for those who are down and out or in need, loving our enemies. Those are things that mostly we have to work at. We have to choose to take those burdens on that ultimately are a blessing, but also can be a lot of work. Lastly, Jesus said, "For I am gentle and humble in heart." God is like a loving shepherd who, when one sheep gets lost, he goes out and searches after it. So if you're feeling lost this morning, know this. God is searching for you. God is like a guy who had a dinner, and he had all these important guests that were invited, but none of them showed up. So he went out into the streets and invited the blind and the lame and the sick. So if you're feeling blind or lame or sick or hurt or unappreciated, God's inviting you to the kingdom party. God's like a good person who just wanted to show us the difference between right and wrong, but was beaten and suffered and nailed to a cross to help the people who were killing him. So if you're feeling beaten up and trying to live graciously, here's the good news. You're on the right track. I wanted to close with a story, and so I found this story that I thought kind of wraps this all together. It's a story that goes way, way back in history that supposedly Hebrew families would often tell their children. It's called The Sweetest Sound. It's about a king by the name of King Reuben who liked to ask questions. He liked to ask difficult questions. Questions like, "Where is the hottest place on the earth?" Or questions like, "Where does the snow fall deepest?" One day he came up with this question. He asked, "What is the sweetest melody of all?" His advisors got together and they couldn't figure out what the answer was, and so they decided, "I know how we'll figure it out. We'll have a contest to try to discover what the sweetest sound of all is." So all of the musicians of the kingdom gathered together. They came to the palace. It was early on a Friday morning. They gathered under the king's window with their flutes and their harps and their violins and their horns and their bells and their drums and their banjos and their bugles and their chimes and their trumpets. And they were all tuning them and testing them and woke up the king. Smiling, he jumped up, hoping that that would be the day that he would discover what the sweetest sound ever made was. Throughout the morning, he sat on his balcony and he listened. By noon, he thought he had heard all of sounds imaginable that could be made by plucking or tinkling or blowing or banging. By afternoon, he was developing a real bad headache. They were whistling and they were jingling and they were shaking and they were sawing and they were buzzing and they were pounding. And he was asked, "To your ears, which melody is the sweetest of all?" But he still couldn't decide. So he decided, "I know what we'll do. We'll have everybody play or make their sound all at the same time." And so they did. Everybody was making all this sound at the same time. But all it meant is that he couldn't think. Just at that moment, it was getting late into the day, almost evening, a woman dressed in her Sabbath best pushed to the front of the crowd. It was now late on Friday afternoon, and she said, "O king, I have the answer to your question." The king was surprised because she didn't have any kind of an instrument at all in her hands. Then he said, "Why didn't you come earlier?" And she said, "I had to wait until just before the setting of the sun." Sure enough, the sun was setting in the west. Musicians were still puffing and blowing and chiming, and he said for them all to be quiet. And that was when she took two candles out, put them on the railing of the balcony, lit them. You know what starts on Friday in Jewish culture? Friday evening at sunset? The Sabbath. And then she said, "Blessed art thou, King, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us by thy commandments and commanded us to kindle the Sabbath lights." Then she took her hands away from her face and she said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Or in other words, she suggested that the sweetest sound of all is the peace that comes with Sabbath rest. Jesus said it this way. He said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."